Radio Daily for halfway day, which is going to be very difficult to deal with since we're one day away from having lost Stan, and we'll be talking comics today. Dear, twist the knife. Just freaking welcome to the 14th of November. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. We know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy places. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that walked into his boss's office today kicked that door open and said, "Hey, man, I'm podcasting for Siegfried."
Word of caution. I don't accept failure. Ever.
And well, I have messages from my boss as well. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
The word impossible is only found in the dictionary of fools.
It's also a Funkin' Wagner thing. It's crazy. What happened this fine day, sir?
Oh, that's a dictionary thing. My bad. In 1666, the English physician Samuel Pepe makes a record in his diary describing the first documented blood transfusion, which is between dogs. Who bled the dogs out?
No. 1732, Louis Timothy is hired in Philadelphia as the first professional librarian in the United States.
1851, Moby Dick, a novel by Herman Melville, is published in the U.S.
1878, the first shipment of a new telephone designed by L.M. Erickson of Sweden is delivered.
1908, Albert Einstein presents his quantum theory of light, the lesser-known sequel to Skyfall.
1910, an airplane takes off from his ship for the first time.
Hopefully on purpose. 1935, Western Union introduces the first desktop's facsimile on its New York to Buffalo line to more rapidly convey messages to its office.
1967, Theodore Maiman has issued a patent for the Ruby laser system, which he applied for back in 61. It takes a while. Processes, paperwork.
1968, Yale University announces plans to go co-ed. The school will introduce co-education in 1969 when Amy Solomon becomes the first woman to register as a Yale undergraduate.
In 1969, NASA launches Apollo 12, the second manned mission to the surface of the moon from Cape Canaveral. Lightning strikes the vehicle twice at 36.5 seconds and 52 seconds into the mission. It suffers no discernible damage. Ha, God, we're going to the stars.
1971, Mariner 9 arrives at Mars, becoming the first successful spacecraft to orbit another planet.
1994, Atari and the Time Warner Cable Full Service Network cooperatively announce an agreement to offer Atari Jaguar 64-bit interactive video games to FSN customers. Select video games will be digitally compressed and stored onto magnetic hard drives to be downloaded by FSN customers on demand.
Same day, same year, Nintendo hosts the annual Shoshinkai Show in Tokyo, Japan. At the event, Nintendo announces the Virtual Boy video game system, which uses a special virtual reality headset to display 3D red images on a black background. It features a 32-bit RISC chip, two high-resolution mirror scanning LED displays, stereo speakers, controller with dual directional controls and buttons, and of course, it's priced about $200 and was the most complex video game system ever created, including up to today.
1996, General Motors releases its first electric automobile, the EV1, in Lansing, Michigan. The vehicle's range is 70 to 90 miles per hour. Between recharges, 1,100 units will be produced.
2002, Microsoft officially launches the Xbox Live online gaming service in the U.S. and releases the Xbox Live Starter Kit, which includes a one-year subscription to Xbox Live in the U.S. The service, of course, requires a broadband internet connection because it's going to take way too long trying to snipe somebody on dial-up. And, of course, the price tag was about $50.
I was a beta tester. You're welcome. 2003, the asteroid 90377 Sedna is discovered by Michael Brown, Chad Cherilio, David Rabinowitz, in the most distant observed natural body in the solar system. I won't say whose. I'll leave it to your imagination.
2005, McDonald's and Nintendo launch a free Wi-Fi service for Nintendo DS users in thousands of McDonald's restaurants in the U.S. The service is provided by Wayport and paid for by Nintendo. And it's missed.
Very much so. 2006, Microsoft releases its portable Zune media player featuring a 30-gig hard drive. The Zune is available in a variety of colors, including black, brown, and pearl white. It's $250.
Hey, Bill, would you help me program my Zune? Oh, wait, I have an iPod like the rest of the world.
Why, you?
And, of course, those of you who are listening to us right now on your Zune, in 2007, a team of scientists from Oregon announced the successful creation of the world's first cloned embryo from a monkey.
2008, India's Chandrayaan 1 unmanned lunar probe successfully lands its moon impact probe on the south pole of the moon.
Wow, I should have read down further. Same day, same year, MGM releases the James Bond film Quantum of Solace, directed by Mark Forster and starring Daniel Craig as James Bond.
It's a pretty good 80s James Bond film made 20 so years later. Birthdays?
Corey Michael Smith, man with three first names. 32 years old, Edward Nigma on Gotham.
Russell Tovey is 37, George in the BBC version of Being Human, looking, and Sherlock.
He was also in like 1.5 episodes of Doctor Who. Well, 1.5 seconds, but Vanessa Bayer, 37 years old, from SNL, Portlandia, and Trainwreck.
Brock Pierce is 38. That's young Gordon in The Mighty Ducks and First Kid.
Talk about names. That's a hell of a name right there. David Moscow, 44 years old, young Josh in Big, Zoe Duncan, Jack and Jane, and other stuff, I guess.
Betsy Brandt is 45 from Breaking Bad in Life in Pieces.
Josh Duhamel, 46 years old, Lennox in Transformers, Battle Creek.
Patrick Warburton is 54 years of age from Seinfeld, Family Guy, Emperor's New Groove, and the original live-action Tick.
Yeah. Which, remember, when if you want to, here's the key to doing a good Patrick Warburton impression. Everything you say has to end in a yawn.
That makes it so much easier to do.
Harlan Williams, 56 years old. He's an amazing stand-up comic, one of my comedic heroes. From Dumb and Dumber, Half-Baked, Employee of the Month, and I absolutely adore him in Rocket Man. I love that movie.
Laura San Giacomo is 56 from The Stand, Just Shoot Me, Saving Grace. Thoughts?
Her eyebrows are 58. D.B. Sweeney, 57 years old, from Fire in the Sky, Strange Luck, Harsh Realm, Jericho. And I thought he was awesome in Spawn. He was one of those cats that was like everywhere.
Indeed. Paul McGann is 59 years of age, the eighth Doctor, no matter what that jackass at RavenCon said, Alien 3 and Queen of the Damned.
Phil Barron, 65 years old, voice of Timmy the Tooth and Teddy Ruxpin.
Maggie Roswell is 66 from Midnight Madness, Pretty in Pink, and was Maude Flanders on The Simpsons.
Sandal Bergen, 66 years old, from Conan the Barbarian, Red Sonja, and Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Gary Grubbs is 69 from Growing Pains, JFK, and Fred's dad on Angel.
Monique Mercury, 88 years old, from Naked Lunch.
No longer with us, born in 1765, Robert Fulton, American engineer who allegedly invented the steamboat.
1904, Dick Powell, first person to play Philip Marlowe on screen, and Gold Diggers of 1937.
Sorry, that should be Diggers.
Okay. Gold Diggers of 1937.
1916, Sherwood Schwartz, who created Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch, which was all that was ever shown on TV in the 70s.
Yeah, among so many others. 1945, Sue Williams, How to Stuff a Wild Bikini. Hello, Dr. Goldfoot and the Bikini Machine. Okay, I got it. I clearly need to catch up on her entire oeuvre.
Yeah. Because you got to see Vincent Price as Dr. Goldfoot. That's great. 1948, Robert Genty from Exterminator. Exterminator 2 and Warrior of the Lost World.
Exterminator. CBS, New Survivor, SEAL Team, and Criminal Minds.
ABC, it's the 52nd annual CMA Awards. Woo!
NBC has the Chi Tri with Chi Med, Chi Fire, and Chi Pid.
On Fox, it's New Empire and Star.
CW, Veronica comes with a plan to break Archie out of hot boy jail on a new Riverdale and a new Legacies.
Freeform is showing Sweet Home Alabama, again, the role that she was born to play.
AMC has The Good Dinosaur, which I imagine is the prequel to The Good Son.
Discovery Channel, Egyptian Queens on a new Expedition Unknown.
FX, Apocalypse Then on the finale of American Horror Story Apocalypse.
FXX, The Revenant. I can't bear to watch that movie.
Yay! FXM has The Other Woman.
IFC's got Nubbin But Trouble on a new Stand Against Evil.
Gotta love that show. Paramount has Bad Boys, Bad Boys. What you gonna do?
Probably watch the Sci-Fi Channel and see Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, which is weird since I own it and should just watch it that way without commercials.
Yeah, that tends to happen, where if you got it on the shelf but it's on TV, you're watching the TV. TNT has Blended.
What is up? Why did we do that? Oh, hey, I own this movie, but it's been on for half an hour. I'll just watch it. Science Channel, Masters of Magic, on a new Outrageous Acts of Science. But on this fantastical evening, we are going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a girlfriend moves to a small suburb with her boyfriend, and then an older lady becomes convinced that that woman is her daughter who went missing 20 years ago. She prepares to do whatever it takes to ensure her child never leaves again. Molly Hagen, Richard Brattacasano, Katie Sawalski, and not Kathy Bates star in Long Lost Daughter.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update. Brady confesses the truth to Paul. He saw Will and Sonny sitting in a tree. Lots of things with ING.
Rex attempts to reconcile with Sarah. Please, please come back to me. Please put back on this ring you threw at me and hit me in the head. Gabby wrestles with telling the truth, but she does so enjoy taunting people in sanitariums. Chad makes a deal with Stefan, and the snow starts falling in hell because one of the seven signs of the apocalypse, hashtag Chabby, forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox.
Dear guys, I just heard that Stan Lee died. I cannot believe it. He is so going to be missed. The wife didn't know who he was, and I even showed her a picture, and she didn't recognize him. I feel like I'm losing my geek cred by association. That's from Jonathan in Birmingham. Well, Jonathan,
No,
just tell her that, you know, she's probably seen him a million times and just not realized it, because, I mean, she's been watching the Marvel movies, right? With everybody. You take a little bit from what you know, a little bit from what she knows, and together you come up with a goulash of love. It's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. Not everybody has seen every geek thing out there. Sure, there are some standards that we assume everybody knows about, but that's okay if you don't. It's our job, certainly in any relationship, to be a cultural ambassador for what we dig. And we have to share just like they share with us. Sometimes it might be just letting us touch their boobs, but we gentlemen certainly should share things that we appreciate and enjoy as well. And ladies, yeah, we'll do whatever you want to. Just let us touch your boobs.
Which reminds me, hey, Jonathan, did she see Stripperella? Won't you drop us a note, please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. I mean, did anybody see Stripperella? If so, I mean, you could tell us about it. Voicemail, send that note to
510-GRD. Crow.
I don't think Stan saw Stripperella.
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week, written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me. As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Scott Ian from Battlestar Galactica and Anthrax, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
That's how awesome Battlestar Galactica was. It got top billing over Anthrax. Not everything gets that.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed it is. What's waiting in the long boxes, sir?
Well, from Detective Comics, we've got Mr. Miracle wrapping it up with 12 of 12, Superman number 5, Wonder Woman 58, and years after the Great Disaster, the Earth has started to rebuild and rejoin the Universal Coalition. In order to prevent a galactic war, different worlds throughout the known cosmos have created a new system of competitive combat to give each participating planet their own voice in the intergalactic struggle. Each world has one diplomatic gladiator chosen to possess the electric seed and fight for their homeland. An electric warrior, one of six.
Over at Marvel, Cosmic Ghost Rider wraps up its 5. Infinity Wars, Infinity Warps kicks off 2. Uncanny X-Men number 1. But there are 5 Dreadlords, the Cull Obsidian, Thanos' most feared warriors and disciples, ruthless villains to a 1. The Black Order has been dispatched by the Grand Master to destabilize a burgeoning empire, and along the way they come to realize that as big and bad as they are, there's always someone bigger and badder in Black Order, 1 of 5.
Oh, I first read that as Black Adder, 1 of 5. Dynamite Entertainment, James Bond, Oregon, or Orange. We're doing the same thing from yesterday. James Bond Origin, number 3 with oranges. Lone Ranger Volume 3, number 2. Robots vs. Princesses, number 3. From Boom Studios, we've got Adventure Time, Season 11, number 2. Ruin World, wrapping up 5 of 5. Saban's Go Go Power Rangers, number 14. And delve into the past of Captain Mal Reynolds. Learn how he met his first mate, Zoe, and the real truth behind the War of Unification, the intergalactic civil war that divided friend and family alike. Go back to the battleground where Mal's journey began in Firefly, number 1.
I'm a leaf on the wind. IDW Publishing, Ghostbusters Crossing Over, number 8. Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 2. Star Trek V Transformers, 2 of 4. At Titan Comics, it's Minions, Viva La Boss! Robotech, number 14. Shades of Magic, The Steel Prince, 2 of 4. But then you can return to the world of Don't Nod, smash hit video game Life is Strange. In the official sequel stories, fans thought they would never get to see. 1 year since the game's shocking ending, fan-favorite duo Max and Chloe run headlong into an emotional roller coaster of love. Max promised to bury her time-twisting powers, but as storm clouds gather, it's a promise she can't keep. And Life is Strange, number 1.
From Valiant, we have Bloodshot Rising Spirit, number one. Ninja K, number 13. That's the healthiest cereal that any ninja can have in the morning. From Dark Horse, we've got Dr. Horrible's Best Friends Forever, number zero. Dragon Age Deception, number two. God of War, number one.
Pick it up, boy.
After the deadly events of the film Aliens, the spaceship Sulaco, carrying the sleepless bodies of Ripley, Hicks, Newt, and Bishop, is intercepted by the Union of Progressive Peoples. What the UPP forces don't expect is that nobody is actually down with them. But they also didn't expect a deadly passenger that is about to unleash chaos between two governmental titans intent on developing the ultimate Cold War weapon of mass destruction. This is the official adaptation of the original screenplay of William Gibson's Alien 3.
Over at Danger Zone, it's Aberrant number 5 and Guncats number 4. Over at Image, it's Hit Girl 10, Murder Falcon number 2. Terrible Elizabeth Dumb against the Devils in Suits, a one-shot. But in 1920s, the Harlem Renaissance is in full swing, and only the Sangree family can save New York and the world from the supernatural forces threatening to destroy humanity. But the once great family of monster hunters has been torn apart by tragedies and conflicting moral codes. The family must heal the wounds of the past and move beyond their differences, or sit back and watch a force of unimaginable evil ravage the human race in Bitterroot, number one.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, earlier this year we told you that Blumhouse Productions was set to make a Five Nights at Freddy's movie based on the popular video game series, with Chris Columbus of Mrs. Doubtfire and Home Alone fame lined up to direct.
So Macaulay Culkin gets hired and wackiness ensues?
Has to be. The project was at one point aiming for a 2020 release, but now Scott Cawthon, the creator of games and the producer of the film, says that Five Nights at Freddy's movie has been delayed because it's getting a total overhaul.
Were there issues with the Daniel Stern animatronic or something?
You gotta get this oil can. Scott offered an update on the future of the franchise and relayed the news, saying, I had a script written, Jason Blum liked it, Chris Columbus liked it, I too, but I tossed it. I had a different idea for it, one I liked better. I take responsibility for the delay. It's my fault. I'm sticking to what I've always said. Either the right movie gets made or no movie gets made. I hate delaying a project, but, you know, I want money. No, he didn't say that. Fans must be glad to hear that filmmakers are taking their time to do this right. The danger is if they wait too long, that a movie version can lose some of its relevance.
Oh, it must fall online after the Halo movie.
But hey, you know, you're doing great. Most people don't last this long. I mean, you know, they usually move on to other things by now. I'm not implying that they died. That's not what I meant.
But that's just a theory.
Dun, dun, dun.
A game theory. If you really want to know about the whole Five Nights at Freddy's, the FNAF stuff, check out the game theory stuff. My old buddy Earl, he actually edits on there. So yay. Hi, Earl.
Hey.
Somewhere deep inside Valve's Rube Goldberg-like compound of steam-sustaining tubes, wires, and pipes, someone is congratulating Artem Moskowski. The self-described bug hunter came across a glitch that allowed him to generate thousands of free keys for any game on Steam. Now, a lesser person might have kept that knowledge to themselves, but he reported it.
I must admit that I would probably be a lesser person.
It'd be tough. Moskowski discovered and reported the bug back in August, but Valve only allowed the information to go public recently. For his troubles, the company paid him $20,000, as opposed to a lifetime of free games, which is what would have happened if this was a feel-good episode of a sitcom. Let's face it, 20 grand? That's a lot less than he could have made selling those Steam keys, but good for him. They actually gave him a reward that would make him not want to do the bad thing. Smart thinking. Valve said an investigation did not find evidence of the bug actually being misused, though, which is good news for Valve, because speaking with tech publication The Register, Moskowski said that in one case, he managed to trick the system into giving him 36,000 keys for Portal 2.
The price is a lie.
Now, this should inspire you. Go forth into the world and fix the bad things. Then go help others. Because when you help others, you can't help helping yourself to a $20,000 reward.
Hack the Paladin! You know, we often talk about geeky items that go up for auction, but you are a practical person. You want things that are actually useful, and to that I say, use the Schwartz! The rest of us are just going to have to check out the Profiles in History Hollywood auction, which takes place December 11th.
Okay, what cool thing do they have this time? Is it like a toothpick used by Elvis, or some sort of a hair barrette used by Don Knotts?
They have the Eagle 5.
I'm sorry, what now? The one from a galaxy very, 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 very far away?
The same. The largest Winnebago offering in the mid-80s, the Chieftain 33RU, a 14,500-pound GVWR 454-powered Class A motorhome that slept as many as six. And it was also one that was used by Lone Star and his Mog, Barf, his own best friend. Mel Brooks did use a full-size Chieftain for a number of scenes. The shots depicting the Eagle V flying through space, though, relied on roughly 1.5-scale filming model made of cast resin, vacuum-form plastic panels, metal wood components, miniature versions of Lone Star and Barf. Credit for the model goes largely to Grant McCune, chief model maker for Spaceballs, who helped work on the shark model for Jaws before moving on to build models for Star Wars and Star Trek, among dozens of other things. McCune held on to a number of models after filming, and some of them, the Eagle V among them, have made the rounds at Comic-Con since McCune's death in 2010. The Eagle V first went up for auction at Profiles History Auction in June of last year, sold for $28,000, including premium. But Profiles and Histories listed it again as part of the auction house's upcoming Hollywood auction, listed as part of the McCune collection, a pre-auction estimate of $12,000 to $15,000. No word on whether use of the model has been planned for Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
Wait, so it's back up for auction? Are we sure it's not cursed?
Stephen King's Eagle V. The auction also includes the Bluesmobile, used to film the reverse backflip that Elwood used to escape the Nazis in the original Blues Brothers, Nazi Pinto not included, I've Always Loved You. Pre-auction estimates for that are $30,000 to $50,000. It may seem spendy for a piece of geek history, but don't feel so bad. If you find a bug on Steam, it'll really defray the cost. And then you won't have to worry about owing Pizza the Hut.
A team of scientists from the Anglia Ruskin University and the University of Exeter in the UK applied data sonification techniques to a photo of the 5,000th Mars sunrise captured by the NASA rover Opportunity to create a 2-minute piece of music.
Was it pump up the volume, pump up the volume?
Dance, dance? No. Unfortunately, Christian Slater, it wasn't. Researchers created the piece of music by scanning a picture captured by the solar-powered robotic exploration rover Opportunity in early 2018. It went from left to right, pixel by pixel, and looking at brightness and color information and combining them with Terran elevation, according to a press release by the Anglia Ruskin University. The researchers used algorithms to assign each element a specific pitch and melody. The resulting song, titled Mars Soundscapes, and released this week, sounds soothing yet surprisingly otherworldly. The quiet, slow harmonies are a consequence of the dark backgrounds, and the higher-pitched sounds towards the middle of the piece are created by the sonification of the bright sun disk, according to Anglia Ruskin University.
So it's like listening to the Smiths? Or you doing the Smiths?
NASA's new single will drop at the supercomputing SC18 conference in Dallas, Texas, in just a few hours. Presenters Dr. Domenico Vicinanza of Anglia Ruskin University and Dr. Genevieve Williams of the University of Exeter will use both conventional speakers and vibrational transducers so the audience could feel the vibrations with their hands, thus enjoying a first-person experience of a sunrise on Mars, just like Daredevil would.
Does that make it a sonic transducer?
It'll seduce you. When they turned it on, they find it is a device that is capable of breaking down solid matter and projecting it through space and, who knows, perhaps time itself.
Love is 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 love.
I'm not sure what you mean.
During his 2016 Tony Award acceptance speech, Lin-Manuel Miranda reminded us that love knows no boundaries. Akiko Kondo's mother, however, does, and she refused an invitation to her only son's wedding.
Is she sick or something?
She did not go to the wedding because he married a hologram.
Damn it, Krieger!
The rest of his family agreed with Mom, and none of his relatives attended the 2 million yen, $17,000 ceremony, in which the 35-year-old wed a 16-year-old virtual reality singer named Hatsune Miku.
Fake and underage? Damn it, Krieger!
The pair did attract a crowd, though. 40 guests gathered at a Tokyo hall to watch a human tie the knot with an animated character present in the form of a portable stuffed doll. Miku is the name of a Vocoid software voice bank developed by Krypton Future Media and its anthropomorphic anime character. Her personification has been marketed as a virtual idol and is performed on stage at concerts as an animated projection. Kondo has been living with a moving, talking hologram of Miku, which floats in a $2,800 desktop device since March. His wife wakes him up each morning, greets him each evening, even tells him when it's time to go to bed, where Kondo sleeps next to the doll version of Miku, who wears a wedding band around her left wrist.
Is this viral marketing for the Black Mirror / Child's Play crossover?
Hologram design manufacturer Gatebox issued the couple a marriage certificate, one of more than 3,700 distributed for cross-dimension marriages. The groom claims a woman at his former workplace bullied him into a nervous breakdown and he vowed never to marry until he met Miku. Miku-san is the woman I love a lot and also the one who saved me, he said. I believe we must consider all kinds of love and all kinds of happiness. After all, two-dimensional characters can't cheat, age, or die, which means, of course, this can only lead one way.
Lazy, lazy, fatty, fatty, gaijin, wee!
I mean, how do you not murder her every day?
I do.
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, 9-State 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
Good people, this is going to be exhibit 12 as to why the robots take over.
Oh, like the robots are like, they're doing what to us? They're putting us where? It's going to be so, so, so bad. Go to youtube.com/geekradiodaily. That's always fun. And drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com or confess your virtual reality love creature things by dialing the magic number of
510-GRD-CROW.
And we will see you at a different time.
Right now, like I wish I could crawl in a hole and put it in after me.
Sounds like Weird Science and Tamagotchi had a damn baby with that story. Jesus.
This is developing into a very bad habit.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
And now, Public Access Television presents Men on Books.
So, I'm Blaine Edwards.
And I'm Antoine Merriweather.
And welcome to Men on Books. The show that looks at great literature from the past and present.
From a male point of view, tonight we have truly my personal favorite. This one's called Moby Dick.
Open the portholes, there's a man overboard. I get goose pimply just thinking about that big Mr. Moby.
Red light. Excuse me, Mr. Moby is a whale.
I bet he is.
This book gets the yet unheard of Zorro snap.
In Z formation.
You know, I really got wrapped up in this story of men out on the open sea, danger lurking around every corner, and them all snuggled up in them tiny little cabins. Just made me want to hoist my sail and shove off with them.
Me too. I pay top dollar just to be a stowaway in that story.